All right. Good evening, saints. You can turn to 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 4. Larry did a great job as an intro, so thank you. Once again, the Holy Spirit is incredible. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to continue in something that these verses that we were working through last time I was up, and it looks like I'll probably do a three-part message, so still have a lot of notes. It's good, though. I like to slow down on some of these things are really important concepts. Obviously, the Apostle Paul thought so, so it's good to slow down. So we're going to read 1 through 13. We'll grab verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already filled, Christian. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you are prudent in Christ, we are weak. But you are strong, you are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed, and we are roughly treated, and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we do praise your holy name, the name that is above all names. And we are grateful, Father, for we were once hostile enemies to your camp. And even so, you sent your Son in the world to redeem us, because you knew that the joy set before you. You knew the plan. You could see the end from the beginning. And so you are the eternal sovereign God, and all things are in subjection to you. So I just pray that we would see ourselves the way you see us, as saints, called for a purpose. And that in that, we recognize that there is nothing special about us as these Adam suits that we walk around in, but it is Christ in us that makes us special, that sets us apart. And so that it would be my prayer, Father, that through these verses, that as we go through these, that we recognize that it is all about Christ, in that we would shrink, that he may grow in us. And so we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so last time we were able to get through quite a bit of this, but the continuing theme for the Apostle Paul and what we well brought out to this point, and he will continue to bring this out through the rest of this book, is that of unity. And he's getting on the Christians in Corinth, actually, that you have lots of quarrels amongst you, and you therefore have no unity. And that's really the issue that he's bringing out here. He says, you know, some of you are saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, and that's wrong. We talked about that. It should be that I'm of Christ. Has Christ been divided? You know, it's about Christ. Yeah, so we looked at that. And we talked about Paul and Apollos didn't really have any problems. You know, they were doing the good work of the Lord. It was the other people that were having issues. I'm of him, and I'm of him, right? So we looked well into that. And we looked at, you can go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2, but keep a finger in chapter 4 here. We'll be coming back to this. But we brought out, you know, what is the unity of that we're striving for? Where does that come from? And Philippians chapter 2 gives us a good picture of that. We'll just read this real quick again. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so there's our example, right? Christ, it's about Christ. He is the example. He's what we, he is the our coach. He's our, he's the leader, right? And so we follow in his footsteps. And so we well brought that out. We are intent on one purpose, and that purpose is to glorify him, right, as his disciples. And as we glorify him, through he can be glorified through us, who we talked about, bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples. You know, Mr. Toolwell brought out recently, are you Catholic? Are you Lutheran? Are you what? Are you Presbyterian? What? No, we're disciples of Christ. Okay? We follow Christ's commands. And so that's the direction that we have. We are disciples of him. And so it's about Christ. It's not about us. It's always been about him. And so he says here, I do not want you to be arrogant. And so we talked about that, and that's kind of where we left off. We started bringing out, you know, arrogance. You know, pride kills. And we looked at that, and we've well brought that out as well. But there is a good pride in the church. Okay, I'm proud of us. I'm proud of each and every one of you. In the purpose that we are unified in Christ is the family business, right? Seeking and saving that which is lost. And we do a really good job in that. We have two new living stones that were added. You know, it's that is our purpose. That's what unifies us is, and that's why Christ came. He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. So we continue in the family business. So there's great pride in that. There's great pride in each that we have for each other. You know, so many of you I've brought out, well, encourage me with your example. And so it's okay to have pride for each other. It's okay to have pride for the team, right? But when that pride is individual, personal, and does not go out from but is held within, that's the wrong kind of pride. And we want to be careful of that pride. That kind of pride, the Bible says, kills, right? And we looked at, when we closed last time, a couple of verses. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble in James 4 and 6, right? pride goes before destruction, we talked about. And a haughty spirit before stumbling in Proverbs 16 and 18. And so pride kills. And so, you know, I think I brought it out as we were closing last time. I hate to admit it, but, you know, I kind of look for that fall sometimes with people. Like, you know, I'm a sports fan, and I like to see, like, incredible plays on the football field or the baseball diamond. And, you know, just like, wow, how did he just do that? Or, you know, how did they accomplish that? That was amazing. And then they just peacock all over the field. Like, just, I'm like, can you just go sit down, please? And so I find myself starting to cheer for that destruction, the fall, right? Like, maybe he trips on the goal line and fumbles, and, you know. But the Lord's kind of like that, too, in a way, you know. The pride goes before destruction, he says. I mean, what can you say? Arrogance is a problem, and a haughty spirit before the fall, he says. And pride, so pride's dangerous. Pride kills, and we talk about that quite a bit. There's two kinds of selfish pride that we can fall prey to. One is kind of obvious, and that's the guy that thinks he's great. You know, that peacock that's going on after he has that good play. You know, those kind of people really bother me. You know, if you're really good, if you're that good, do you need to tell everyone? They already know, right? How do they know? Because of your performance. And so the humble in heart can be a mighty, mighty warrior for Christ, right? And you don't have to go building yourself up because people see that. And they'll see that in your actions. And so we can let our actions speak for themselves. And actually, our actions can speak well or not so much. Okay? There's a second kind of pride. It's real subtle. Right? And it's like people don't like other people that do well. like they're being showed up or it's making them look bad somehow. I forget who said it. Years ago, but there's something about fleshly man that despises excellence in others, right? And that's so true. You know, I see that there's a reason that most people don't like the Dallas Cowboys. You know, man despises excellence in others. You either love the Cowboys or you hate them, right? Because they're good. See, y'all don't like the Cowboys. Okay, moving on. You didn't get the chance to speak up. That was just me. Okay, I got the mic. No, it's. Say it again. Further actions. Okay, I'll let my actions speak for themselves. Okay, enough about the Cowboys. I shouldn't have even went there. Just forget I said it. Wow. Off of the Cowboys and onto the church. I should have known better. So, there is that tendency in fleshly man that just, you know, you just kind of made me look bad. And I don't like that, okay? And it's the idea of, that's, you know, that's where really jealousy and strife come from. Is when someone else is doing so good and you're not getting any glory at all. So that's fleshly man has a tendency to do that. Let's turn to James chapter 3. And it's where that strife comes from. And brethren, for there to be unity in Christ, there cannot be selfish pride. Okay? That personal selfish pride has got to go. And James brings this out real well in James chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." Okay? Where there is pride, where there is selfish ambition, where there is arrogance, there are problems. In the church and outside the church. You know, in the sports world, they say that's the cancer in the locker room. Right? Guys can't do their jobs because some guy's just running his mouth, running down others that have excelled. I hate that guy. We need to, oh, that guy's out of, you know, just, it's, oh, what about me, you know, that's the cancer of the locker room, okay? It's not about me, and that's that guy, you know, that is earthly, natural, and demonic. If that's not obvious enough for you, turn to Proverbs chapter 28. We got an even better look at this. In Proverbs chapter 28, it's very straightforward. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I can still hear pages turn. Proverbs chapter 28 and 25 is a pretty well-known verse. It says, "An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper." And so God wants us to realize, first and foremost, it ain't about you, right? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about Christ. How does Paul say it? Who regards you as superior? Right? How does he say it in the book of Romans? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Right? Even if you were perfect, even if you never broke the law, on your own power, you might have something to boast about in front of other people, not before God. Not before God. What does it say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there is no room for arrogance in the Lord's church. Okay? So the fact has been that we've been made perfect. If we are perfect, it's nothing that we have done or are even capable of doing. It's Christ. Okay? It's all about Christ. And so it's not from ourselves. There's no room for boasting. There's no room for arrogance. Who regards you as superior? Paul says. What's your deal? Right? Is the Lord holding us above himself? Is he exalting us above him? He's willing to serve us, brethren. But we didn't somehow overtake God, right? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not? Okay? And so it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about his church. It's about his team. It's about being part a humble player and servant of his team. It's his kingdom, right? So let's go back to Corinthians chapter 4. One of the things I've noticed in people over the years, and it's a little easier to see in children. It's kind of hidden a little bit with adults, but it's there. And sometimes you get pride and arrogance, and you get jealousy and strife, primarily because people feel like they're getting ripped off. Or they're missing out somehow, right? They didn't get enough, or nobody's giving me anything, so I'm going to get mine, right? They're getting ripped off. They're getting shorthanded somehow. Paul reminds the Corinthians in verse 8 of chapter 4, you are already filled, Christian. You have already become rich. You have become kings. Larry well brought it out. He's given us his kingdom. In Luke, I love that. He's gladly given you the kingdom. Right? And so Paul is trying to tell him, you are already filled. You have already become rich. Why are you striving for these earthly blessings or these earthly riches, right? So another thing that really drives me crazy and it's dangerous is the health, wealth, and happiness preaching out there, right? That's not what it's about. That is not what it's about. Put your arms up in the funnel so God can bless you, right? No. No, it's not about you. It's about Christ. You know, and don't get me wrong, the blessings from the Lord are great, right? He rewards those who seek him. And there are those blessings, but typically it's not about earthly wealth. It's not about having a good health. It's not about having a good earthly family. Although those things are great and those are rewards. But those are, you know, he rewards those who seek him. That's not the reward that we have, brethren. You can turn before I get to that. Do we need money? Yeah. We need money. And the money makes the world go round, someone said. Do we need to be healthy in order to be effective for the Lord? Yeah, to an extent. It makes sense. But, you know, I think of Matthew chapter 6:33 that Larry brought out. And it's Super Day's favorite verse. He mentions it a lot. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. The focus isn't on that, but those things will be added to you. We don't have to worry about those. Let tomorrow care for itself. Okay, if the focus is there, then we're going to be missing the mark. Okay, what do we really get? What is the blessing of the Lord? And you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. A lot of you know this is my favorite verse. And I've talked about this before. But growing up, my family, we loved to go to dinner. Right? It was just, it was something about it. It was just a family outing. You know, I think my dad liked to parade his family. He was proud of his kids, you know, or whatever. And we like to go and make, you know, you make a reservation for a Saturday evening family dinner or Sunday breakfast at the Village Inn. I remember that. You know, there's this huge waiting line and all these families are dressed up from church, you know. And we have reservations, you know. It was a big deal. We're reservations! Reservations! Don't be late! Reservations at 6. We got to be ready. Come on, come on. Let's go. It was a big, there was a lot of attention brought. We got reservations. Don't worry. Don't forget. Right? I just remember how important that was to us. It just is, it was a thing. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, I like this. In verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven," Christian. Reservation! It's reserved for you right now. And this is not about a family dinner at the steakhouse, right? This is an inheritance that it beats all inheritances, right? It will not fade away. You think God is concerned about your 401k? That's going to disappear soon, probably. He's not concerned about preserving your 401k or whatever retirement account you have. Is that the inheritance that he's concerned about? He's not concerned about that. You know, I think it was Jesus and Larry read it. Thieves break in, right, and steal. Moth and rust destroy. Are there some big thievery going on out there right now? Oh, yeah. There's some big thieves out there, and there's some big stealing going on for sure. There's no guarantee that that's going to be protected. No guarantee. But you know what we have, Christian? What we have is reserved for us in heaven right now will never fade away. Will never perish and will never be defiled. Nobody can touch that. Okay? So reservation! You want to be there, right? You going to make that reservation? I know I will. I'm sure we all will. If we keep the main thing the main thing. Right? And so that's what Paul's working on here with them. I have a few more minutes. So, we in this sense will sacrifice now in this life what Jesus says, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life here, you'll preserve it to eternity, right? So we give up a little bit now. We pay now, but we're going to play later, right? In eternity. And so now is the time, brethren, to put in the work. Now is the time to put in the work. And we do God's work, right? It's His work. We do it according to His plan and His purpose. We trust in God and lean on His understanding, right? We align our thoughts with His thoughts. It's not about us. It's about Him, right? It says we're born to a living hope. What hope does this world have? None. None. According to His mercy, it says. That inheritance is for you, brethren, with your name on it. It's there. You got to show up. And this isn't just another big stocking stuffer or a consolation prize, right? Tell him what he's won, Johnny. No. This is the inheritance of Christ, right? What's His is ours. We are co-heirs with Him. This is the inheritance. This is the retirement plan. Okay? What are you fighting for, Christian, in this world, on this ball of dirt? What are you concerned about so much? What do you still need to get? You have it already. You've been given the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And so we'll continue in that. We're right at about time. But I want to look at the other things that He gives us. He gives us a family, right? What would we have if the church just disappeared all of a sudden? What would it mean to us? It would be everything. You know, it was brought out. He's given us the kingdom. It's been given to us, brethren. And so there's a lot to fight for here, but it's not about the world. Okay? as followers of Christ, it's about Him. And it needs to be done His way and according to His word, right? We are disciples of Christ. We follow His example, right? Let's have a closing prayer. Father God, we are grateful for You. We're grateful that You have led the way. You have led the march. And we're grateful to be called to do Your work, Your will, according to Your purpose. Help us to keep the main thing moving ahead. And help us to be continually focused on the family business, that work that You have given us. And help us to see ourselves as saints called, but called for a purpose. Help us to see the mighty warriors that You have created us to be, that we have died to sin and made alive to You for that purpose, for winning souls. And so we may set ourselves aside, that You may reign in the thrones of our hearts. So we thank You and praise You, Christ Jesus. You are the Christ. Amen. Thanks, everyone.